home, no relatives, no friends. He had come into the city to find his fortune and had found only misery and pain. From time to time he made a few cents, working like a mule, barely enough for a morsel. Otherwise, he had to beg or steal food. Don Juan said that one day the young man went to the marketplace. He walked up and down the street in a haze, his eyes wild upon seeing all the good things that were gathered there. He was so frantic that he didn't see where he was walking, and ended up tripping over some baskets and falling on top of an old man. The old man was carrying four enormous gourds, and had just sat down to rest and eat. Don Juan smiled knowingly and said that the old man found it quite strange that the young man had stumbled on him. He wasn't angry at being disturbed, but amazed at why this particular young man had fallen on top of him. The young man, on the other hand, was angry and told him to get out of his way. He wasn't concerned at all about the ultimate reason for their meeting. He hadn't noticed that their paths had actually crossed. Don Juan mimicked the motions of someone going after something that was rolling over. He said that the old man's gourds had turned over and were rolling down the street. When the young man saw the gourds, he thought he had found his food for the day. He helped the old man up and insisted on helping him carry the heavy gourds. The old man told him that he was on his way to his home in the mountains, and the young man insisted on going with him, at least part of the way. The old man took the road to the mountains, and as they walked, he gave the young man part of the food he had bought at the market. The young man ate to his heart's content, and when he was quite satisfied, he began to notice how heavy the gourds were and clutched them tightly. Don Juan opened his eyes and smiled with a devilish grin and said that the young man asked, "What do you carry in these gourds?" The old man didn't answer, but told him that he was going to show him a companion or friend who could alleviate his sorrows and give him advice and wisdom about the ways of the world. Don Juan made a majestic gesture with both hands and said that the old man summoned the most beautiful deer that the young man had ever seen. The deer was so tame that it came to him and walked around him. It glittered and shone. The young man was spellbound and knew right away that it was a spirit deer. The old man told him then that if he wished to have that friend and its wisdom, all he had to do was to let go of the gourds. Don Juan's grin portrayed ambition. He said that the young man's petty desires were pricked upon hearing such a request. Don Juan's eyes became small and devilish as he voiced the young man's question. "What do you have in these four enormous gourds?" Don Juan said that the old man very serenely replied that he was carrying food, pinole, and water. He stopped narrating the story and walked around in a circle a couple of times. I didn't know what he was doing, but apparently it was part of the story. The circle seemed to portray the deliberations of the young man. Don Juan said that, of course, the young man hadn't believed a word. He calculated that if the old man, who was obviously a wizard, was willing to give a spirit deer for his gourds, then the gourds must have been filled with power beyond belief. Don Juan contorted his face again into a devilish grin and said that the young man declared that he wanted to have the gourds. There was a long pause that seemed to mark the end of the story. Don Juan remained quiet, yet I was sure he wanted me to ask about it, and I did. "What happened to the young man?"
"He took the gourds," he replied with a smile of satisfaction.
There was another long pause. I laughed. I thought that this had been a real Indian story. Don Juan's eyes were shining as he smiled at me. There was an air of innocence about him. He began to laugh in soft spurts and asked me,
"Don't you want to know about the gourds?"
"Of course I want to know. I thought that was the end of the story."
Oh, no,
he said, with a mischievous light in his eyes. The young man took his gourds and ran away to an isolated place and opened them. What did he find? I asked. Don Juan glanced at me, and I had the feeling he was aware of my mental gymnastics. He shook his head and chuckled. Well, I urged him, were the gourds empty? There was only food and water inside the gourds, he said. And the young man, in a fit of anger, smashed them against the rocks. I said that his reaction was only natural. Anyone in his position would have done the same. Don Juan's reply was that the young man was a fool who didn't know what he was looking for. He didn't know what power was, so he couldn't tell whether or not he had found it. He hadn't taken responsibility for his decision, therefore, he was angered by his blunder. He expected to gain something and got nothing instead. Don Juan speculated that if I were the young man, and if I had followed my inclinations, I would have ended up angry and remorseful, and would no doubt have spent the rest of my life feeling sorry for myself for what I had lost. Then he explained the behavior of the old man. He had cleverly fed the young man so as to give him the daring of a satisfied stomach. Thus, the young man, upon finding only food in the gourds, smashed them in a fit of anger. Had he been aware of his decision and assumed responsibility for it, Don Juan said, he would have taken the food and would have been more than satisfied with it. And perhaps he might have even realized that that food was power, too. Six. Becoming a Hunter. Friday, June 23rd, 1961. As soon as I sat down, I bombarded Don Juan with questions. He didn't answer me and made an impatient gesture with his hand to be quiet. He seemed to be in a serious mood. I was thinking, but you haven't changed at all in the time you've been trying to learn about plants, he said in an accusing tone. He began reviewing in a loud voice all the changes of personality he'd recommended I should undertake. I told him that I had considered the matter very seriously and found that I couldn't possibly fulfill them, because each of them ran contrary to my core. He replied that to merely consider them wasn't enough, and that whatever he had said to me was not said just for fun. I again insisted that, although I had done very little in matters of adjusting my personal life to his ideas, I really wanted to learn the uses of plants. After a long, uneasy silence, I boldly asked him, "Would you teach me about peyote, Don Juan?" He said that my intentions alone were not enough, and that to know about peyote, he called it mezcalito for the first time, was a serious matter. It seemed that there was nothing else to say. In the early evening, however, he set up a test for me. He put forth a problem without giving me any clues to its solution. To find a beneficial place or spot in the area right in front of his door, where we always sat to talk. A spot where I could allegedly feel perfectly happy and invigorated. During the course of the night, while I attempted to find the spot by rolling on the ground, I twice detected a change of coloration on the uniformly dark dirt floor of the designated area. The problem exhausted me, and I fell asleep on one of the places where I had detected the change in color. In the morning, Don Juan woke me up and announced that I had had a very successful experience. Not only had I found the beneficial spot I was looking for, but I had also found its opposite, an enemy or negative spot, and the colors associated with both. Saturday, June 24th, 1961. We went into the desert chaparral in the early morning. As we walked, Don Juan explained to me that finding a beneficial or an enemy spot was an important need for a man in the wilderness. I wanted to steer the conversation to the topic of peyote, but he flatly refused to talk about it. He warned me that there should be no mention of it unless he himself brought up the subject. We sat down to rest in the shade of some tall bushes in an area of thick vegetation. The desert chaparral around us was not quite dry yet. It was a warm day, and the flies kept on pestering me, but they didn't seem to bother Don Juan. I wondered whether he was just ignoring them, but then I noticed that they weren't landing on his face at all. Sometimes it's necessary to find a beneficial spot quickly, out in the open, Don Juan went on. Or maybe it is necessary to determine quickly whether or not the spot where one is about to rest is a bad one. One time, we sat to rest by some hill, and you got very angry and upset. That spot was your enemy. A little crow gave you a warning, remember? I remembered that he had made a point of telling me to avoid that area in the future. I also remembered that I had become angry because he hadn't let me laugh. I thought that the crow that flew overhead was an omen for me alone, he said. I would never have suspected that the crows were friendly towards you, too. What are you talking about? The crow was an omen, he went on. If you knew about crows, you would have avoided the place like the plague. Crows aren't always available to give warning, though, and you must learn to find, by yourself, a proper place to camp or to rest. After a long pause, Don Juan suddenly turned to me and said that in order to find the proper place to rest, all I had to do was to cross my eyes. He gave me a knowing look and in a confidential tone told me that I had done precisely that when I was rolling on his porch, and thus I had been capable of finding two spots and their colors. He let me know that he was impressed by my accomplishment. I really don't know what I did, I said. You crossed your eyes, he said emphatically. That's the technique. You must have done that, although you don't remember it. Don Juan then described the technique, which he said took years to perfect, and which consisted of gradually forcing the eyes to see separately the same image. The lack of image conversion entailed a double perception of the world. This double perception, according to Don Juan, allowed one the opportunity of judging changes in the surroundings, which the eyes were ordinarily incapable of perceiving. Don Juan coaxed me to try it. He assured me that it wasn't injurious to the sight. He said that I should begin by looking in short glances, almost with the corners of my eyes. He pointed to a large bush and showed me how. I had a strange feeling, seeing Don Juan's eyes taking incredibly fast glances at the bush. His eyes reminded me of those of a shifty animal that can't look straight. We walked for perhaps an hour while I tried not to focus my sight on anything. Then Don Juan asked me to start separating the images perceived by each of my eyes. After another hour or so, I got a terrible headache and had to stop. Do you think you could find, by yourself, a proper place for us to rest? He asked. I had no idea what the criterion for a proper place was. He patiently explained that looking in short glances allowed the eyes to pick out unusual sights. Such as what? I asked. They aren't sights proper, he said. They're more like feelings. If you look at a bush or a tree or a rock where you may like to rest, your eyes can make you feel whether or not that's the best resting place. I again urged him to describe what those feelings were, but he either could not describe them, or he simply didn't want to. He said that I should practice by picking out a place, and then he would tell me whether or not my eyes were working. At one moment, I caught sight of what I thought was a pebble which reflected light. I couldn't see it if I focused my eyes on it, but if I swept the area with fast glances, I could detect a sort of faint glitter. I pointed